According to 1 John 3:15, have murdered somebody spiritually, because 1 John 3:15 says whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And so we got to get rid of our grave clothes. So the text reveals that when Jesus arrives, yes, Lord, in the town of Bethany, that Lazarus' sister Martha came crying and weeping, saying, Lord, if you had been here. My brothers and sisters, this is the way it is with many of us today, because we sit around in our circumstances weeping and crying, talking about, Lord, if you had been here, this or that wouldn't have happened. But you need to know that God is there all the time. He hasn't gone anywhere, because he's everywhere at once. And he's always there for us. But it's like being in a dark room with a light switch on the wall, and all you got to do is turn on the switch. Yet you sit in darkness weeping and crying. And in the same way, when trouble arises in your life and things become dark and dreary, all you got to do is turn on the light switch of faith and trust, and begin to thanking God and praising him ahead of time for his deliverance. And so Martha and Mary both said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, each of them said that because they hadn't turned on the light switch of faith, because it didn't dawn on them that when Jesus arrived, a miracle of resurrection could still take place. And so Jesus said to her in verse 23, he said, your brother will live again. Why? Because Jesus went on to say in verse 25, 5 through 26, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, he says, I'm the one who raises the dead to life. Everyone who has faith in me will live, even if they die. And everyone who lives and believes or have faith in me will never really die. And he went on to ask, do you believe this? Now, this is a word of comfort to all who have lost loved ones who died in the Lord, because here Jesus assures us that they are not really dead. They're just absent from the body, but they are present and alive with the Lord. And so Jesus said in verse 34, where have you laid him? And so when Jesus arrived at the tomb of Lazarus, he asked the bystanders to remove the stone from Lazarus' tomb. He said to them, take away the stone. But again, Martha said in verse 39, Lord, by this time, he's stinking. He's been dead now for 4 days. Now she's saying, in essence, Lord, you're too late. His case is hopeless. He's been dead for 4 days, and it's hot. And you know, his body has already began to decompose. And so it's too late, because he's beyond help. Because you see, the Jews believed that the spirit of a person, when they died, it hung around the body for at least 3 days, and after that, it was too late. And so she said to the Lord, by now he's stinking, because he'd been dead for 4 days. But my brothers and sisters, I need to tell us that God is never late. And no circumstance or situation is too bad, too evil, or too far gone that the Lord can't change. Yet many individuals have not received from God because of that kind of confession and attitude, meaning many moan and groan, talking about, Lord, it's the youth. Look at where I am in life. I'm too far gone, and my situation is too bad for anybody to help me. And that's why many have given up on their sons and daughters, husbands and wives, friends and loved ones, because we believe that they are all beyond help and will never change change, no matter how much we pray for them. Some folks even have the nerve to go back into a person's family history in order to judge their worth. Talk about, child, you know his old daddy was a drunkard and a drug addict, and you know mama wasn't no good either. So it's just expected for them to be like they are. They'll never change because it's in their genes. But all the while you're being negative about someone, Jesus is standing there saying to you, as he said to those folks standing by Lazarus' tomb, he said, take away the stone. Well, preacher, what stone are you talking about? He said, take away the stone of fear and doubt. Take away the stone of unbelief and negativity. And when you take away the stone, you will witness the miracle of the Lord. Because Jesus said in verse 40, he said, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. My brothers and sisters, can you imagine God being too late for anything? The God who is in the past, present, and future at the same time, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, being too late. Because it doesn't matter what your circumstance may be. It doesn't matter who has failed you, even how many times you fail yourself. It's never too late for God to come to your rescue and bring deliverance. And so the text says, when Jesus prayed, not because he needed to pray, but verse 42 says that he prayed so that those standing around would believe that the Father had sent him. And then he cried with a loud voice, he said, Lazarus, come forth. But I noticed that he called Lazarus by name, because had he not called Lazarus by name, Brother Buckner, that would have been a premature resurrection. And so he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible said Lazarus came forth wrapped in grave clothes, meaning he was alive, but he was still bound by grave clothes. And in the same way, many folk today are alive in Christ. In other words, you're saved, but you can't move forward and you can't mature because you're still wrapped up in grave clothes. You're wrapped up in grave clothes of the flesh and worldly living. But the Bible says that you who were once dead in trespasses and sin, according to Ephesians 2:1, you have been quickened, or you have been made alive by the Holy Spirit. And so you should no longer walk and live as you did when you were dead to Christ. Because the Bible said, therefore, if any man or any person is in Christ Jesus, here she is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And in order to get rid of your grave clothes, again, Ephesians 4:23 said, you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Because it doesn't matter that you're saved, how much you come to church, as long as your mind hasn't been changed or renewed, you will still be wrapped up in your grave clothes. Why? Because many folk have that Lot's wife syndrome, meaning they can't keep from looking back. But when you come to life in Christ, you not only want to come out of the graveyard, but you don't want to live with your grave clothes on either. Like Legion of last week, when Jesus cast the demons out of him, that caused him to be living among the dead. My brothers and sisters, when he was healed, he came out of that graveyard and went back home, telling folk about what the thing the Lord had done in his life, and how Jesus said, had compassion on him because he had a renewed mind. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because without a renewed mind, you'll never receive what God has for you. And so you got to get rid of your grave clothes. But before I close, I want to lift three things, three kinds of grave clothes that every Christian got to get rid of if they're going to be used by God and live a life that's pleasing to him. Well, first of all, we got to get rid of the grave clothes of immaturity. My brothers and sisters, immature Christians are the ones who cause the most problems in the church. In fact, they are problems because they are still carnal, still fleshly, and living and walking by sight and the dictates of their fleshly desires instead of the Holy Spirit. Because immature Christians are usually wrapped up in the grave clothes of jealousy, the grave clothes of envy and pride, always wanting to get their own way. They can't stand to see the Lord bless another brother or sister, not realizing that they would get rid of their grave clothes, that God would bless them too, and bring them to where they ought to be in the Lord. But immature Christians will never come into the full blessings of the Lord, nor will they come into the place that God desires them to be. You wonder why is this? Because they're too busy standing in somebody else's way, trying to hinder their progress. Thereby, they hinder the church from bringing forth quality, because it takes mature believers in Christ to bring about quality. But once quality comes, it will bring about quantity, and then others will want what you have. They'll want to be a part of what you are doing and where you are going. But the bottom line is, God wants everything that he touches to grow and be fruitful. For instance, Brother Jackson, in Matthew 21:18-19, it said that one day Jesus was hungry, and he looked up and he saw a fig tree. But when he got to the fig tree, there was no fruit. There was nothing but leaves. And so Jesus cursed that tree, and it withered and died. Somebody wonder, why did he do this? Well, he did it to show his anger at religion without substance. Because just as the fig tree looked good from a distance, but upon examination, it was fruitless. In the same way, if you only appear to have faith without putting it to work in your life, you're like the fig tree with no evidence of the fruit of the spirit of faith in your life. Because you see, genuine faith means bearing fruit for God. It means moving from immaturity to maturity. Because God is only pleased when we are maturing in Christ and developing spiritually in him. Because it's not simply about just coming to church with no evidence of change in your life. Because if you're in the will of God, you will desire to change. But let me tell you that God will not force us to change, and therefore we must see for ourselves that where we are is not where God wants us to be. If there to be a desire for a change in our lives. But now, to grow in faith, you need to understand that the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God, because the stronger our faith become, the more mature we become. More the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please God. And so being saved is only the first step, but there are many more steps in becoming a follower of the mature disciple in Christ. There are many more steps to maturity and growth. Yet many Christians have never begun the process because many haven't taken the first step. And the